Powered by Rev Media in partnership with TSN, this is Season 5, Episode 58 of the Rain Drakes Hockey Podcast, and it is presented by our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, who've introduced the first release of the Canadian Club Invitation Series CC 15-Year-Old Sherry Cask. Signature CC Classic 12-Year-Old Whiskey, finished with a secondary aging in Oloroso Sherry Cask. And Ray, you're in one, aren't you? For the foreseeable future here, my friend, when it comes to travel, when it comes to game after game after game, you're in one now.
Yeah, I would say, Drakes, the first 10 to 12 days of the playoffs are, you know, where it's the most intense, busy. And so I'm in Florida today for the Leafs. It's Tuesday. Thursday, I'm in Denver for Edmonton. Season ends. I fly home Friday. I fly to New York on Saturday and then have games Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before we get another day off. So, but it's the best time of year. Thankfully, the games are always so cool and it's fun to be part of, but yeah, the old sleep clock is low.
Yeah. Now are you recording the games that you're not doing? But you know that you're diving into that series, or do you just cherry pick and make sure that you watch the highlights and do all your prep work and do all your reading to make sure that nothing has been missed?
No, a bit of both. But I mean, like when I get home from the game on Sunday, the game I do Monday will be game two of that series. So I'll watch game one. And then,
yeah,
this is where it gets a little easier though, Mike. My next game will be game two of the series I did game one of. Like, that's the only one I've got to know. It's easier not doing radio every day because then you got to be up to speed on all of it. But I get home and I watch what I watch and check out if there's good finishes or plays I need to catch up on. And so I get a pretty good idea what's going on. But the series I'm in, I know the ones that I'm not going to get like airmailed a game out of left field. I'm not going to end up with a game of a series I haven't seen six times yet. Right. That's not going to happen.
Well, that's it
shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen.
You remember the old Chris Cuthbert day week? Was it called the Washington game on a telephone, like on a landline?
Right.
Because everything went bonkers with the production truck and everything else.
Yeah, that was when that
stuff happens, Ray.
That was early in his career, right?
And very early. Yeah,
yeah, he did call it off a full kid. For those of you that don't know Chris Cuthbert, the image of him with a phone and his notes and spilled coffee, it would have been something to see. You know, they got those booth cams.
Yeah,
wouldn't that have been awesome? The Cuthbert cam to see that.
Nothing to see here, mister.
Moving along, sir.
Well, speaking of great finishes, I mean, we've got one.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming right down to game 82 of the NHL regular season. So we'll start there in the East in our headlines, Ray, brought to you by Tim Hortons. Introducing the new greatest duo set. Three cards in each pack with a chance to find a collect-to-win golden prize card and win duos-themed prizing. And this includes a 2024 Hyundai Venue, or a 2024 Hyundai Elantra. You could also win a trip to watch a Montreal Canadiens game, have a meet and greet with Canadiens captain Nick Suzuki. How about a $500 Tim card and a $500 Esso gift card? Phenomenal prizes available only at Tim's. So the Eastern Conference playoff race will need game 82 to determine that eighth and final playoff spot in the East. Huge games to start the week Monday night. So Washington beats Boston, Lindgren with a 16-save shutout. Detroit falls 4-2 after two periods. They found a way. They were trailing 4-2. They found a way with Lucas Raymond, Ray getting his 30th
man,
of
that,
the year to tie.
That kid's starting to jump, isn't he?
He's
starting a real player, man.
And then he gets the game-winning goal in overtime. What a gritty win by the Red Wings. Enormous extra point there. But the Caps have the tiebreakers, we now know, in regulation. So Detroit plays again. They'll play Montreal tonight as we record Tuesday. Washington is in Philadelphia. The Penguins have to watch. They're sitting one game back after a gutsy win over Nashville. Crosby scored, I guess it's his 42nd right. of the year to open the scoring for the Pens on Monday night. So they'll wrap up their season tomorrow versus the Islanders. I mean, where do we start? I guess let's start with Detroit. And because there's more to talk about with Crosby and the Penguins. Yeah, I mean, 31 goals on the season for Lucas Raymond. You know, you've got some great stories there. Patty Kane, 47 points, almost a point per game player since his return. You know, what about Shane Gostisbehere? Bear? I mean, three-point effort in that hockey game yesterday. So
How about the play Gostisbehere made on the tying goal? He goes as high as he can to keep the puck in the zone or else it's out and they, you know, play's gone. And Raymond scores and gets the winner. And so I think what I like best about the last part of the year is you're like, yeah, that team's dead. Yeah. Oh, no, they're not. Oh, yeah. That team's they're good. They're fine. No, they're not. They lose three in a row when they're and, you know, when they're in the soup. And the crazy part is, you know, so the team that holds their own destiny is Washington. Yeah. Washington wins and they're in.
Yeah.
And so remember when they signed Darcy Kemper to a 5-year free agent deal? Mm-hmm. And they're going to go back to back with Lindgren here. Lindgren's taken over the number one job. Yeah. And has been terrific for them. If somebody could figure out which Capitals team is going to show, like they're either good or like they don't lose. They're either good or they get smashed.
Right.
Like, so they're, I'm looking here. Their goal differential is 38 minus. Like, how are they even near the playoffs?
I know.
And so if they, and Philly, this game is everything to Philly. Like Philly, they need all kinds of help, but they could make it.
Yeah.
But they have to win and they have to win in regulation because Washington can't get a point.
Yeah.
And so the, you know, the Wings and the Penguins and Philly, they're hanging and hoping every, you know, a bunch of other scenarios happen. And man, it's amazing. But the Caps are the team that controls their destiny.
So because of everything you've just said around the Washington Capitals, does that make them certainly an intriguing possibility, but a difficult out in round one of the playoffs? Because, man, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, the star power is still there in a large way. You've got the depth, as we saw on Monday night, with Dowd scoring and John Carlson from the point. I mean, Washington, you know, like Pitt, might just have a little bit of juice left here.
I guess they could. It's funny, though. Like, you know, Washington holds the cards. But I think the 1-8 in the East
It's tough.
Sets up as the only series that I think could be, you know, quick.
Yeah.
Like, it feels quick. Yet, I think if there's one team that could throw a, you know, a flat tire into that, it's Detroit.
Okay. Yeah.
I just think they would play at a million miles an hour. Washington will apparently check you into submission. They held Boston to what, 16 shots last night, you said, Drakes?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so like, but I just think that 1-8 feels like the one series that you could, that I don't think anybody will pick the 8 seed, put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Sidney Crosby, the Pittsburgh Penguins' dreams of being a playoff team are fading. Yes. They are, but they're still real. There's still possibilities here that are in play. Obviously, the Penguins need, you know, the Capitals and the Red Wings to lose. Now, assuming they don't quite make it, Ray, what do you make of this run that Pittsburgh has accomplished? It's been incredible.
It really has. If they make it or don't make it, it doesn't change necessarily my view of what has to happen there. You know, like they're nowhere near deep enough. They're, you know, their best players are, they're not getting older, they're old. And, you know, you can Sid tug the boat again, like 42 goals by himself?
Yeah.
No, they need help. And so I think it's been a remarkable testament to Crosby. Not that he needed another one, but when that team was like, they were dead and he literally dragged them off the mat. And I just, they're, they're so much a wild card, and but they're very thin. And I think there's change coming there. Like, that roster needs to change. And this, it's hard to change it fast, right? It really is.
They like some of their good young pieces. I know that. I mean, you see Drew O'Connor. There's some other pieces
Yeah.
that
He's
are
one of
coming.
he's the one guy I would say this year that has taken a
Yeah, I
real
agree.
legit step. He's had an excellent year for them. Joseph had a on the blue line had a really rough first half and a pretty good second half. But you start to get into those guys they got in the Gensel trade and they're 20. Like you gotta, Ponomarev and that. You gotta wait for those guys. Like they're just not, it's not just around the corner. And so there's some uneven turf in front of them, I think.
All right, let's go to the top of the East, Ray. What about the New York Rangers? They claim the President's Trophy. And we kind of set that up a minute ago, talking about, what about the Washington Capitals? I mean, whoever the eighth seed ends up being, is literally in a real tough predicament up against, the top team in the East. I was going to phrase the question, is this team for real? I mean, obviously they're for real. You don't put up the points that they've amassed all season long. They've had some blips, but they didn't, fall apart at any one point of the season. The goaltending is as good as any. So how would you handicap the chances of the Rangers just period as being a top Stanley Cup contender?
There's no real apparent weakness to them. I would say if there's one spot I'd be a little bit uneasy about, it's whoever's going to play right wing with Zibanejad and Kreider. They brought in Jack Roslovic and he was scratched last week. He scored last night. They've moved some people in and out of there. So that seems like a place they're maybe not quite certain about, but they've got an excellent defense. Their forwards are deep. Lafreniere is the guy that's taken the jump there
He
this year.
has.
He's really been terrific for them. Vincent Trocheck has had a marvelous year. And then, certainly one of the on my ballot anyway, one of the top five MVP candidates in Artemi Panarin. A tremendous year that he's had. This is a really good team. And yet when you look at it, like I'm Florida and Carolina kind of stand out to me in the East as like playoff team sort of style. And I'm like, yeah, but they're not better than the Rangers. So I would say those are would be my, if I'm handicapping, those are my three Eastern favorites:
Yeah, and
Carolina,
I look.
Florida, and Rangers.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and I might extend that. We kind of overlook a little bit the Rangers. I mean, by we, maybe just a collective fan base, media in general, and maybe Boston as well, right? And you can pick holes in the Boston Bruins because of what they don't have, and they're not going to have anytime soon unless they find a Patrice Bergeron or a David Krejci or the holes that they have to fill. But I think that's kind of the framework of the East is the three teams that you mentioned with Florida, Carolina, and the New York Rangers. And we'll see how Boston can fare. Maybe they surprise some people.
Their power play is an absolute mess right now. Like it really is. And to the point where Monday at practice, Jim Montgomery basically made two completely different units. And he's like, what we're using doesn't work. We've got to look at it in a different way. And it's obviously pretty late in the year to be going, back to the drawing board. And I have the Bruins have had an excellent year. Their goaltending is exceptional.
It is,
It really is. And but I have them just a smidge below those other teams. For me, the top three are the top three.
All right, well, we'll continue to analyze all the matchups in the next episode of the Rain Rigs Hockey Podcast on Friday. Final regular season games are Thursday night. All right, over to the West. Connor McDavid, surprise to no one, scored his 100th assist last night after returning from a tweak. Missed a few games there. So It now looks, in terms of the scoring race, like it'll be Kucherov, MacKinnon, McDavid going 1, 2, 3. I mean, lofty numbers. We've been sidetracked by the, you know, Auston Matthews' pursuit of 70, which could happen against the Florida Panthers on TSN tonight. Maybe it's against Tampa Bay. Doesn't really matter. But not overlooked, but maybe shadowed a little bit, is what Kucherov, MacKinnon, and McDavid have done in putting up piles and piles of points this year.
It's been a pretty terrific regular season. And there's been some just highlight performances, like night after night, it seems one of those guys is, you know, the forefront of the highlight package. Yeah. It's been amazing. And, you know, I mean, Kucherov, what's he got, 141 points now? Like, that, like, it's those numbers are 1980s numbers.
Yeah.
You know, him and MacKinnon and McDavid, you know, McDavid's 100 points. Matthews is at 69 goals. And, of course, and I was pretty happy he didn't get a 70th in Toronto the other night, because we're doing the game tonight. And I'm like, well, I'd like him to have a chance here. You know, kind of makes it a little more fun in the broadcast. Those numbers, though, were just, they just don't look right, in this era of the game. That those are from years gone by. It's amazing seasons.
How about a quick thought on Matthews, because it could happen tonight against Florida. What do you make of Sheldon Keefe's comment the other day, just honestly talking about how big of a distraction it is? He appreciates that everybody wants it. The head coach wants Auston Matthews to get 70, but I don't feel like you change the decision-making of your roster, right? If Auston Matthews had something that was bugging him a little bit, no different than Connor McDavid, well, at some point in the last week, 10 days, 2 weeks, he probably sits a game or two.
Yeah.
Now he's not going to sit. I mean, it's two games before the start of the playoffs. I mean, aside from the 70 goals, I mean, he wants to keep his momentum going, I would think, as he gets set for a best of seven.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to play him 23 minutes a night, but
no,
you know, but you know what's a distraction I pose to the Leafs is San Jose's 146 goals minus. How's that for a distraction? This is great stuff. A guy's got a chance to make a historic number to get to 70. How can this be a distraction? Is he trying harder to score? Or like, I think I understood what Sheldon was trying to say. I don't see it. I don't see it. Like, did all of a sudden Auston Matthews think, gee, I should shoot the puck? No, he shoots the puck every time he gets it. And he's as dominant a player goal scoring wise as we've seen. I mean, this is in a long, long time. This is his historic numbers right now. Like, I want to say his goals per game are third in the history of the game. Lemieux, Bossy, and him.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that a distraction? I don't get it. And I was a little, it's almost like creating your own issue here. There's enough issues. What are you going to create another one for?
It is a team-based, though, that the idea that everybody wants Matthews to score the 70th. So you're looking for him even more than you might normally, and it's taking away from your team game.
Well, I don't know. When you get in the offensive zone, are they not looking for him anyway? If they're not, I'd say start looking for him. And then how does that affect Holmberg or Dewar or Reeves or the eight forwards that never get on the ice with them? Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect anything. And you can't control if the fans are excited about it. Like, of course they're going to be excited about it.
Of course.
There are bigger issues than to be distracted by.
Yeah.
Than whether Auston Matthews is at 69 or 70 goals.
All right, back to the West, Ray. Vegas and LA still jockeying the Pacific. The Kings lose to the Wild, 1 point ahead of Vegas. You also have Colorado and Winnipeg. They could flip in the Central Division. So, I mean, does any of this really matter? I guess you're trying to maintain momentum. If you're Colorado, you're trying.
Yeah, it does matter for them.
Statement, right? Yeah,
It's not the statement. It's like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
Like they have drinks. They have, of course, they get their lunch handed to them in at home by Winnipeg. I'm just looking here because I've got it. They've given up 26 goals against in the last five games. They're going nowhere at that pace. So, you know, they've got a few days off here. Mm-hmm. They've got, you know, some practice time. They got one game left. They've got to hopefully, or they're going to be hopeful that Georgiev finds his game again. Cause they get thumped 7-0 by Winnipeg. They go to Vegas, play two perfect periods. They're up 3-0 and then they lose 4-3 in overtime.
Yeah.
Like they're springing leaks here and, it's a bad time of year for it. But you know, isn't it interesting? Like how long ago was it? 3 weeks that Winnipeg couldn't beat anybody.
I know, struggling.
And now they seem like a team again that you're like, ooh, I'm not so sure that we'll line up to play them.
Yeah.
The West, while it seems like the East has those three teams that are a step aside, the West feels like it's got about five or six monsters like that would be really, really tough outs.
Yeah.
And the West feels deeper, but as we all know, like after round one, a lot of those teams that give you the depth of conference are gone anyway.
Yeah. So many good storylines around the National Hockey League as the regular season comes to a close, but maybe we buried the lead here. And that's because, I guess it was Friday, right? The Vegas Golden Knights announced that Mark Stone had been cleared medically to return to ice and would practice with the Vegas Golden Knights. So medically cleared from a lacerated spleen. Now, I guess the doctors had an indication of how long, you know, an injury, an internal problem like that might take. They didn't disclose that initially. They just said he's done for the regular season, questionable for the playoffs. So look, we you and I had an exchange over this on Friday or the weekend. Yep. We know that the Vegas Golden Knights are playing within the rules, but the scenario of how it all comes together and the fact that this has happened a few times now, specific with this player, does conjure up some negative attention. Fair enough. Like there's been noise around this. Yeah.
Well, there should be because it's not like the first time it's happened.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Vegas uses the LTIR space and they go get this year it's Thomas Hertl. And, you know, in the past it was Jack Eichel. And, you know, it feels like it's always something. But what's really interesting is where fans are angry at Vegas for exploiting this, they should be angry at the NHL. It's got nothing to do with Vegas. Vegas is presenting the, or is presented with the rules, and they're doing what they want to do within the rules. Because if it was illegal, it would just get nixed.
Correct.
And if it was illegal, I would say there would be about eight general managers in a conga line phoning Gary Bettman saying, this is illegal. And he'd hang up and there'd be another guy. Hey, this is illegal. And I assume the teams want clarity as to what the injury was and who looked at him and how that all came about. But if the NHL feels this is a real problem, this is something they've got to get to. I'll say it's got nothing to do with Vegas, but that's not true. It's got very little to do with Vegas.
Right. Right.
Because any other team could do it. They could do the same thing. You need the injury to a high-salaried player at the right time to be able to exploit this.
I just don't understand, and I guess, you know what, when they first introduced the CBA and all the changes and the salary cap that was forced down the throats of the players, you know, I guess there are going to be details, there are going to be loopholes, as we like to throw out there, that maybe slip through, right? But this seems like a pretty big miss by both the league and maybe the Players Association, that you wouldn't have some sort of postseason salary cap, right? I mean, you're in it all year long, with the exception of a couple of months in the playoffs, and then you can carry $140 million and everything's fine. That's okay.
Yeah, like, I would think the Giants, like, yeah, but I would think they don't even look at, or clearly didn't even look at the playoffs because the players don't get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, in a big picture, it's like, well, it doesn't even matter because they don't get paid. Yeah. However, yeah, those players get, you know, get paid commensurate most of the time on their skill.
Sure.
And so with this issue not thought about, it's opened up a trap door, and they cannot, I would assume, they can't just change it for next year. This would have to be collectively bargained, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't just say, oh yeah, next year we're going to have a salary cap for the playoffs. Like, your 20-man roster, you know, my simple fix is your 20-man roster can't exceed whatever the salary cap number is.
Right.
Like in the season, you have 23 players. You could have 50 players sitting there all playoffs, but your in-game roster has to fit in the cap. And to me, it would be easy. And I'm like, who would disagree with that, I wonder? And I'm like, no, I don't know. But they'd have to collectively bargain it.
Yeah, and that's what a handful of general managers, part of that executive GM committee, that's their homework assignment, right? You know, get through the regular season, get through the playoffs maybe, but you're assigned to X number of GMs. Have the conversations. Now that we put it on the table and we want you to discuss and go through the different layering effects of all of this, next time we meet, let's have a conversation and maybe map out longer term how we approach this. So anyway, it's on
the radar. Well, I guarantee you the new CBA will have a provision for it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Ray, those are your headlines. Thank you to Tim Hortons.
Tim's Greatest Duos trading cards with two iconic players on every card, like Matthew and Brady Tkachuk or Brady and Keith Tkachuk. Rivals, family, and more connected like never before. Tim's Greatest Duos trading cards.
Our interviews on Ray and Driggs brought to us by Canadian Club Whiskey. We've introduced first release of the CC Invitation Series CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask. All the hallmarks of classic Canadian Club with the added richness and sweetness of sherry. A couple of questions. Ask Ray and Driggs anything. Send us your questions on X or Instagram at Ray and Driggs or on our website, rayanddriggs.com. Bob Nordberg, Ray from Seattle, says, hey, love the pod. The stories, the banter, your knowledge of everything NHL. Hey, when you start a question like this, automatically, you're getting acknowledged at some point. Thank you for that, Bob. So, with the benefit, Ray, of hindsight, if you could pick one Stanley Cup winner between 1973 and 2023 and stand between the benches for all four rounds, what team might it be? What year would it have been? And, of course, why? Fun question by Bob. I like it.
Okay, so right away I think of the Flyers, the Broad Street Bullies.
Okay. Because
I think that must have been mayhem.
Well, keep your head up.
Yeah. Or there was mayhem going one way and a bunch of really quiet people on the other side. Like I think that would be a really interesting one. Now, I started in December of 84.
Okay,
and I can tell you those great Oiler teams,
right?
They had lots to say.
Oh, for sure.
Because they were by far the best. And like, what were you going to say back? And there, when Marty McSorley and Kevin McClellan were young guys, they played on the same line. Marty was a forward. And they'd stand by the end of the bench, you know, nearest the visitor's bench. And when you'd go by there, you'd just hope that they weren't going to pick on you. What were you going to say, right? Like, these two monsters are hanging over the edge of the bench. So I'd say, well, those Islander teams would be
dynasty years. Yeah,
yeah, they would have been really interesting to listen to as they kind of ran their way through the league.
Maybe the Montreal Canadiens again. If we go all the way back to 73 as a time period. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know that there was. I don't know them, but it doesn't picture as a, or for me anyways, like a really. It would have been fun to watch Guy Lafleur from there.
Yeah, of course. And, between the benches though is unique. That'd be fun. Yeah.
Pittsburgh in the early 90s.
Oh, they, boy.
They had lots to say. And, you know, we were, you know, we would bark back and forth with them. But they had, they were great, and they had lots to say, and they were so good.
Yeah. So it's hard to pick one, right?
It, I mean, it, so, it really is. Yeah. But I, the Philly-Pittsburgh stuff, that or Islander Ranger stuff, though, between the benches for those two types of series, yeah. Islander Rangers and Philly Pitt. Yeah. I did the one series. I don't, Drags, I don't know what year it was, but like game one was like 10-7. It Giroux ran over Crosby. It was wild. And I interviewed Giroux before game seven. And it was live, and he dropped an F-bomb. He was, I don't even think he had any clue that he said it. He was just so hyped to go. And that would have been, that was a memorable series for sure, that Pittsburgh Philly sure. one for me.
Okay, one more here. Austin Kluber, I believe is how it's pronounced. A golf-related question. What cool. is a non-standard golf tool slash accessory, Ray, that you cannot live without when you play around? I like automatically, I think towel, of course. I need a wet towel. I don't like dirty stuff. Maybe a range finder. Is that too obvious? That's been become part of the bag. I'm too old to carry my bag anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, like I'm not carrying my bag. No chance. I get the little wheelie thing that I push it along there. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hold on. Is it remote control, that one?
No, I don't. Push? My kids are, they're talking about that, you know, as a, you know, a birthday present this summer. And I do every once in a while. Well, I guess it was more with the early ones.
Yeah.
You'd see this bag rolling down the fairway and some guy running behind it with his remote. That, you know, that would be me, right?
Yeah, like
crash into a tree somewhere. I need the, for me, it would be the bag roller thingy, whatever that's called, the cart.
Yeah.
I like to walk though. I don't want to ride. I like to walk.
Yeah. Well, then in that case, you get the best of both worlds. It's not heavy lifting, literally, and you get the exercise. Perfect.
And, we're about time. We're about time to start really thinking about that, Drake.
Yes, we are. I see that it is. To me, it's like the cabbage. You know, when I get to May, then I allow myself to start thinking of the projects, the golf, the fishing, and all of that. But we're in April. It's still too early. There's too much stuff that has to happen.
Right,
I get too excited.
But that kind of is like the beacon on the horizon for me.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We got your travel schedule. The scenarios will play itself out here for you and everybody in terms of the matchups and whatnot in the next couple of days. But, you're just living out of a hotel and an airplane basically for a bit here.
Next little bit. And, the stuff that really stinks, of course, is I miss a lot of soccer games. And, there'll be a lot of late nights with – you know, be watching the Canucks, and you know, it's for Cammy and the management team there, like it's their first time in, right? And
so they're fun.
Really, really exciting time for them. So this is the best time, man. It's just the best.
And it is.
And look forward to it. And I guess by the time we're on next, we'll actually know who the hell is playing each other.
All right, buddy. Safe travels. Well,
enjoy your week, and we'll talk, I guess, Friday afternoon sometime, right?
Yep, you bet. And thank you to our sponsors who continue to support Ray and Driggs and make it possible. Our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, and Tim Hortons. Until next time, stay safe, everybody.